question I often, in previous years, have asked the children, what's different about the church today? And I hope you've noticed that there are some streaks of blue throughout. It is Advent. It is hard to believe that it's already here, but it is indeed Advent. And it's a season for feeling kind of out of kilter. Not only do the things around us change, the season is changing, and it seems to be getting quicker in some ways. And yet it's also a period of waiting, waiting in the increasing darkness here in Canada, as our light diminishes and as we hope for December 21st. Oh, and Christmas. But December 21st, when it all starts to turn around again. But we wait in this time in darkness. It's a season in which we're caught between the joy of expectation and the harsh realities of the present condition, while we wait for the promises that God has given us to be fulfilled. And the discipline of this season, of rigorous prayer and of being together these four Sundays of Advent, puts us at odds with contemporary North American culture, in which the holiday season consists of bright lights, celebrations, and packages all tied up with neat bows. There's no room for darkness and little patience for prayerful expectation when holiday carols blare from every speaker in the neighborhood, and the neighborhood's glowing with lights, and you can't go anywhere without hearing jingle bells. Yet, ironically, this experience of being out of sync with the surroundings, with our surroundings, when you leave here having sung the hymns of Advent and been quiet and purposeful in prayer, to go out into our world. In fact, that out of syncness may attune us, perhaps, with the message of Advent. Because in Advent, we live in the unsettling tension between what is and what will be. Today we hear from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is a prophet who speaks to a community that's really aware of that tension. Jerusalem had been completely devastated in the Babylonian invasion, and the inhabitants of Israel had been scattered from their homeland, living as conquered people in captivity. And for those living in exile, their way of life had been completely overturned. Their sense of security has been violated, and they have no idea if they will live to see their homeland again. Does this sound familiar? It is in every news story, every podcast, every tweet, and Facebook page these days. Those who long to see their homeland again. Now this leads in Jeremiah's time and in ours to theological questions. Where is God in the midst of this? Why did such devastation happen? Is God present when we're in exile? Will God allow them to return home again? And what happened to that covenant that was made with David and about the promised land? And is the grace of covenant promises made long ago still operative for this generation and our children's children? Think of those questions, which are beyond the ones, of course, of whether people have enough to eat or drink, or whether they will indeed be able to come to Canada or any other country that will take them in. Those are the questions that are the deep questions we see on the faces of the displaced people in our world. And it's the same questions they were asking in the time of Jeremiah. The experience of exile is one of profound dissonance, of things not matching up. It's living in a wide gap between the reality of what is and what the promises of what will be. In fact, the hardship of the present reality must make the covenant promises seem very far away. And as the psalmist laments, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And there's another foreign land that you and I is much closer to home for us, and that's the foreign land of being disconnected in general. Every one of us, I think, has experienced the sensation of the dissonance between what we want and what actually is, whether it be in a relationship, in our job, in our life where we live, in our community. There's a gap, isn't there, in this human life of ours. And so many people who wander into this church have become disconnected from some sense of sacredness, of spirituality. That's the great gift of having our doors open, is that people who have walked by for years or not entered a church are able to come in and sense a little bit of that holiness again, to at least ask the questions about why they went away from it, or do they miss it, or what would it bring them now. And so by very being here and by being hospitable, we present that opportunity for others. And there's always a vision of new reality in that, a new hope. What we provide is hope. Sometimes we don't realize that. We think we're sitting here bored for an hour and 15 minutes while people may or may not come into the church, perhaps. But let me tell you, there's a vision of hope. There is a book that we keep that talks about the stories of hope, the stories of connectedness that people experience here in this place. Jeremiah offers that new reality in a vision today. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. We should not underestimate what a daring proclamation this is that Jeremiah made and that stands today. In the face of devastation, whether it be political, personal, communal, all the evidence points to the contrary, and yet Jeremiah and this church proclaims and insists that God's promises are certain. And the sign of that promise is going to be the branch of Jesse, or the birth of a baby, or the reminder to us that Jesus is born. You see, there's one thing we can rely on. Christmas comes every year. Have you noticed that? Despite many people's efforts to make it into the holiday season, despite the fact that it's been taken over by Hallmark and all the other things, that just means it's very popular. My one stepdaughter used to copy the other stepdaughter. You know how kids are, the youngest one copying the oldest one. And the oldest one used to get so annoyed, and she could be nasty when she was annoyed. And I remember saying to the youngest one, or to her one day, you realize it's a compliment. You understand that the fact that your younger sister is copying you is that she wants to be like you. She admires you. She respects you. It's a compliment. Try and be a little patient with that. Well, maybe that's a lesson for us as well. In this dissonance between the world we live in and the faith we proclaim and the fact that it gets taken over by all these other things called commercialism, perhaps it's a compliment. Because once a year, something happens that we light bright lights, that we spend time with family and friends, that we give gifts to each other. And all of that is thanks to the birth of a baby a long, long time ago that we, the Christian church, still uphold. And that talks about restoration of peace, of joy, of love, of hope. It talks about justice and righteousness in our time. And it talks about the flourishing of God's promises through us. Not empty promises, not those things that are little comfort for those who are homeless, those who have broken dreams, those who have tarnished memories, but rather an alternative reality that's grounded in the claim about God's faithfulness. The Lord is our righteousness. Bridging the chasm between the present reality and the promised future can only be done by living and walking in God's righteousness, by holding that message, by sharing that message with those around us. And Jeremiah suggests that confidence in God's righteousness, not ours, but in something greater than us, enables belief for others in a new reality. Many, if not all people in our world need to believe in a new reality. Otherwise, boatloads of refugees would not be skimming across the Mediterranean. Canadians would not be willing to clothe and house and welcome those who are fleeing into their homes and communities. In the midst of all the horrors of our world, the simple reality of openness, hospitality, and welcome speaks volumes about the hope of a new reality. This past week, we hosted in our hall about 20 people from across Canada. They're the executive archdeacons. They, one might say, they run their diocese. The bishop gets to have all the fun jobs, and the executive archdeacons do all the hard jobs. They didn't say that. I'm saying that. I think it takes a lot of courage to do their job. And they met here for the first time in many years. And we had people from Newfoundland to Victoria to the Yukon to the Arctic to Calgary to Toronto. What a vast and wonderful opportunity to spend time with them. And I was astonished at how grateful they were to meet here in our church hall. I had received an email from them after they went home, all saying to please say thank you to this parish for the great hospitality, for the welcome, for the space. And I wish you all could have been here when they saw the space, because they've been in the hall for 24 hours, and they came into this space, and I showed them around, and they all just said, do you understand what you have? I said, I'm not sure we do, but we're working on it. We're working on it. One of the priests, he is a priest, they're not all ordained, said, I want to come back one day, and I want to see what it's like to stand here and watch the people on the street as you celebrate communion. You don't get a chance to do that, but when you go back to your seat today, take a look out the doors. Don't look at each other, look outside. It's amazing what happens outside our doors, and it's amazing the connections that can be made, even if you don't speak to the people. So that is a small sign of hope in our reality. Their discussion about what the difference is between a closed church and an open church, and the opportunity to be on the street, out there in the community, was refreshing for me to hear, because I've already begun to take it for granted. And that's what we must not do in our lives, is take our reality for granted. Advent reminds us that we need to stand where we are, stand where we're planted, and grow there. To remember that the promise of Advent is God's righteousness, God working through us, where we can proclaim an alternative, a new reality, where things will be made new. So even though it's a time out of kilter, may this be an opportunity to be reminded that it's a time to wait in the darkness, it's a time to grow our sense of who we are, and how we're connected to God and God's world. And may we have the grace and generosity to offer a new reality of hope to each person that we encounter. Amen.